Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sports Sermon. If I sound a little different today, it is because we have new podcast equipment. This is the first run. It's going to be a great podcast. Hopefully, you can hear us a bit better. Hopefully, that's a good thing that you could hear us a bit better. Maybe it's not. But we've got an NFL podcast for you guys today, as I said, with this awesome new equipment. I'm joined by our halftime sports editor, John Block.
Hey, everybody.
And our assistant sports editor, Jorge DeNeve.
Good to be back.
Good to be back. So, like I said, we'll be talking about the NFL today. The trade deadline just happened this past week. It was Tuesday, I think. And there were a few deals made, but we're about halfway through the season now, through week eight. And I thought it would be a good time to kind of debrief about what's been going on in the league. I think there have been some surprises. And I think we'll have a pretty good conversation today about some of these trades that happened, some of the teams, and definitely some of the surprises heading in to week nine on Sunday. I guess the first game is Thursday night, but that'll be done by the time you listen to this podcast. So we're just going to go through and talk about a few of the teams that are on ESPN's top power rankings. And I think we're going to get into the weirdly injured season that has been this season. And I think there have been a lot of injuries to really top players that have, you know, really made a difference, and I think will continue to make a difference throughout the rest of the season. But we're going to start with, I think, the consensus top team in the power rankings this week.
Oh, yeah, baby.
The Philadelphia Eagles, baby. Fly, Eagles, fly. At the trade deadline, the Eagles picked up running back Jay Ajayi from the Dolphins in exchange for a fourth-round pick. There was a lot of speculation that the Eagles were looking to add an offensive tackle as well, because star Eagles left tackle Jason Peters went down with an injury two weeks ago. And, he was definitely a huge key to their offensive line, and I was kind of surprised they didn't pick someone else up. Some people have been saying that the Eagles had an easy schedule heading in to week nine. They've had the third easiest, according to some of the other teams' records that they've played. And they have a pretty tough stretch coming up. They're playing the Broncos, and then they have a bye and play the Bears. And then they have the Seahawks and the Rams. And also after that, still have to play the Cowboys twice. So it should be an interesting end of the year for the Eagles. I want to start, looking back on some of their other games. I mean, do you guys think their schedule has been tough up to this point, or has it been pretty simple?
I don't think it's been tough per se. I mean, the way I look at it is they've played Kansas City. That's their one loss. I don't think they've been tested otherwise, but they're still 7-1. And they're the only team I've really seen that has had both consistently good offense and consistently good defense week in and week out. So regardless of their schedule, I think they're still the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they've done a lot to prove otherwise. I mean, like they played the Chiefs pretty close. They had a chance to tie the game at the end with a Hail Mary. And there were a couple missed field goals in that game. Jake Elliott was still finding his footing. I think that was the week before the 61-yarder, which was beautiful.
That was insane.
But, I mean, they've gotten some good wins. I mean, they've beaten the Redskins twice already, and the Giants, so they're doing really well in their division, which helps a lot. They had a really solid win on a short week on the road against the Panthers, which was a nice statement from them. So I think they still have something to prove. I think if they can come away from this next stretch of games with maybe only one loss, then I think that's huge for them. And I think that, like, they're really cemented as, like, a team that can compete in the playoffs beyond just making the playoffs, which I think they're in a pretty good spot to do already. So I think I'm very hopeful. They still have something to prove, but I mean, they're I would say already, like, higher than my expectations for the team going into the season.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think you look at the jump that Carson Wentz made from last season to this season. He's already exceeded his total touchdowns that he had last season. Last season, he had 16 touchdowns throughout the whole season. This year, he already has 19. He's 61% passing, only 5 picks. And he's really been, like, I've been impressed with how he handles the offense, especially in, like, the pre-snap. You see him making audibles and making calls pretty much every snap, and I've just been incredibly impressed that, like, this second-year player is doing such a good job at that, checking down and changing the play. But he's really been the leader of their offense, and I mean, I think some of their wideouts have been really impressive as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as far as Wentz goes, I mean, just even beyond like the step from you know his rookie season to this season, you just look at like the strides he's made during the season. Like the first couple games of the season, he was really struggling throwing the deep ball, and since then he's like already fixed that issue. Yeah. And like the past you know 4 or 5 weeks has been money throwing it long, which is huge. And then you know I think it really does help that he's got kind of an improved receiving core, which was a lot of people thought was going to be the key for the Eagles going into the season. Alshon Jeffrey's been he hasn't been amazing, but he's been a pretty solid number one option. Zach Ertz has really come into his own as like Carson Wentz's safety blanket. I think he leads the league for tight ends and receptions.
Yeah.
But then Nelson Aguilar, who was part of like the really struggling receiving core last year for the Eagles, has kind of moved into the slot exclusively and really flourished. I mean, he's been excellent as well.
I mean, Wentz was the best rookie quarterback in the league last year. I don't think it was that much of a stretch to think he'd still be the best second-year passer. But for him to look like the MVP that he has this year, and I'd argue that he belongs ahead of Smith in the MVP argument, it's been spectacular what he's been able to do with this Eagles offense, and I just got to tip your cap to him, really.
Yeah, and I mean, also, like, the Eagles are such a complete team that you look at their defense and they're just outstanding, too. I mean, they have the best rush defense in the league up to this point. Their secondary, I've been incredibly impressed with, especially considering the injuries coming in. Sidney Jones was hurt.
Sidney Jones was hurt. He's going to miss the whole season. He was their second-round draft pick.
Yeah, and then Ronald Darby, too.
Ronald Darby, who, yeah, they traded for him from the Bills. He should be back either against the Broncos or after the bye, but he's missed the entire season up to this point as well.
Yeah, but, I mean, their secondary has been pretty good as well. But, like, when you have that defensive front, I mean, it's pretty easy. Like, when you have Fletcher Cox just causing trouble up front, and Derek Barnett, who I've been impressed with, too, I think their defense has just looked really good as well.
Yeah, I mean, I credit to James Schwartz because I think teams have kind of tried to attack the secondary, which is definitely the weak point of that defense. I think you saw against the Redskins, the Redskins would just go to, like, the quick passes over and over again. So, like, they wouldn't give the defensive front a chance to get pressure, and they just, like, beat, you know, a lot of slant routes, a lot of, like, quick ins and outs. And then Jim Schwartz just, like, adjusted. He changed his defensive schemes a little bit and kind of shut the offense down, and then allowed, and then like if you give the defensive line of the Eagles like any time at all to get pressure on the quarterback, like they're going to, because they're just so talented and so deep too. I mean, they basically got like two full lineups of players who are like solid, like at least like average starters on a team.
Yeah.
And then you've got like the huge stars, like, you know, Brandon Graham, who's a great pass rusher, Fletcher Cox, who's just been an absolute monster for the past few seasons. So I mean, it's just like a very credit to Jim Schwartz for making the secondary, I think, look better than it actually is.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one thing I am kind of worried about, and then I think we'll move on to other teams, is that Jordan Hicks just went down with that injury, the Eagles starting middle linebacker, which I'm kind of worried about because I don't think they're very deep at linebacker, and I think he was pretty key to them in the middle of that defense, just like controlling and switching plays up. And he's also been a really good player. So that's something I'm definitely a little bit worried about heading in to the next few weeks. But so the next team is the Patriots, who this isn't in any order. Also, we're just like talking about good teams. But the Patriots, they're at 6-2, kind of, I think, a bit of a surprising move on at the trade deadline on Tuesday. They traded Jimmy Garoppolo to the 49ers, their backup quarterback, behind Tom Brady, which left them with no backup quarterbacks on their roster. It was literally just Tom Brady. And they received a second-round draft pick back from the 49ers, which should be a pretty good selection considering the fact that the 49ers are fucking awful. But I am like, I guess I'm just a little surprised that they're kind of banking, like they received a draft pick instead of another player, or they didn't choose like flip that draft pick for another player. Because I mean, Brady is 40 right now, and if you're trading away Jimmy Garoppolo, who I think is a very valuable piece, I think you would have wanted to get back something that could help you this season, especially considering that your star quarterback is aging. I mean, that just kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I mean, before he got hurt last year, Garoppolo showed us what he could do during Brady's 4-game suspension. He went on the road to Arizona and won against a very good defense. And at the end of the day, the Patriots have a backup now. They signed Brian Hoyer after the 49ers released him. But essentially it's all in on Brady. And I guess they still want to win now, and they feel they can still find another viable backup quarterback option for after this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think – yeah, I mean, Brian Hoyer is probably not going to get it done come, you know, come playoff time if Brady isn't available. I don't think anyone doubts that. So I do think they're all in on Brady. That being said, I think what this probably more was Jimmy Garoppolo was out of contract at the end of the season. And I my guess is that just Bill Belichick kind of didn't like what he saw in him enough for him to be a valuable piece for the future post Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you can get a number of serviceable backups, and I think for the Patriots, they are going to be all in on Brady, where it's like they don't really want to rely, you know, on their backup. They've got a star quarterback, and they're going to live and die by that star quarterback. So unless Jimmy Garoppolo is good enough where they say, okay, we want you to take the reins afterwards, and we're going to give you like a long-term deal to back that up, like, I guess it makes sense for them to get a pretty good return, I think, as far as like a high second round draft pick.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think you're kind of right there, because Brady is under contract through next season, and he has an option for 2019 that he can pick up. So, I mean, if, you know, assuming he stays healthy and he's still doing incredible this year, I mean, 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 67% completion percentage, that's like fucking wild. But I think if he stays healthy, he could still be one of the top quarterbacks in the league, but that's just a big if. And then, you know, I guess I'm just kind of surprised, because you have a guy like Garoppolo who really kind of could show you what he could do when he had to come in last year. And he was pretty much a stud, I think. And you have that guy lined up already. Like, why let him go and not even get a piece back that can help you today? So that just kind of surprised me. But I think you guys are right in that they're pretty much all in on Brady right now. And, you know, if he gets hurt, I guess they'll just see what's go from there, because Brian Hoyer will not get it done for them in the playoffs, especially in that tough AFC East. I mean, I just want to talk about their offense for a second, because they have the most yards per game in the league. And as I said, Brady has just been insane. I mean, no signs of slowing down at 40. So, I mean, what have you guys thought of their offense? I mean, they have, you know, Brandon Cooks they just traded for. Was that last offseason or 2 offseasons ago?
Last offseason.
They got Brandon Cooks from the Saints, who's like a really good piece, I think, a great, great wideout for Brady. Still have Gronk. You know, what do you guys think of their offense?
It's doing what it needs to do, because the defense hasn't been what it was last year. I mean, it was the top-scoring defense in the NFL when they won the Super Bowl last year. It's now leaking points at an alarming rate, and especially in the first 6 weeks. So without that explosive offense and without Tom Brady still playing the best football of his career, they wouldn't be 6-2. So I guess it's just kind of a whole Bill Belichick, do your job to get us to win, and the offense is doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the credit for the Patriots' success this year and most years, I mean, Brady's a huge part of it, but Belichick's a bigger part of it.
Yeah.
Because just you look at, like, the players that they're just able to plug in, and, like, not even for a whole season, for part of a season. Like, Mike Gillisley was scored 8 touchdowns the first 3 weeks and then just didn't do anything, but the offense was still good because they can just say, okay, we'll have a different running back go in. And so, like, you've got, like, Brady's going to be good. Gronk is obviously, you know, going to get his because he's, you know, a fantastic player. But, yeah, like, with Bill Belichick as their head coach, I think they're going to find success as an offense almost no matter who they have.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move on to the Chiefs sitting at 6-2 again. I mean, I watched them. I know we watched them against the Eagles. I haven't seen any of their other games, but they really impressed me in that game. Alex Smith, he's thrown no picks through 8 games, which is insane. 16 touchdowns, no interceptions. Andy Reid, just what can you say? I mean, he's just a great coach. And then you have Kareem Hunt, who really kind of burst onto the scene this year as a running back and has put up pretty insane numbers as well. So, I mean, what do you guys think of the Chiefs?
They're a good football team. They have probably the best home field advantage in the NFL playing at Arrowhead. It is the loudest stadium in the NFL, probably up there with CenturyLink Field where Seattle plays. Alex Smith has been efficient. He's been a bit more explosive, or at least has appeared more explosive than he has been in the past. And then beyond all the pieces, there's still Travis Kelce, who catches anything that comes his way. So it's not a surprise that they are the class of the AFC West right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're just like the defensive side of the ball too. I mean, they've still got a lot of really, really talented players there, like Justin Houston. And then Marcus Peters, a cornerback. And yeah, they just there's not really a place where they're weak. I mean, you could say, you know, like Alex Smith, the criticism has been, oh, he's just like kind of this check down guy. But in the Chiefs system, like I think he's been better than that. I mean, he can make throws. He's not gonna make the big plays that someone like, you know, Carson Wentz is gonna do, where he just like breaks a million tackles and bombs it 50 yards down the field, which is like fun to watch. But Alex Smith is like as efficient as anybody out there. And in the Chiefs system, where they don't need anyone to be like especially spectacular because they have good players in every position. I think it really. Alex Smith is a great fit for them.
Yeah.
Speaking of spectacular, though, Kareem Hunt has been spectacular. I mean, he's just from day one, like, was putting up insane yards. I mean, for the Eagles, you know, best rush defense in the NFL, gave up a really long touchdown run to him. I mean, credit to the Broncos, who were the second best rush defense, for like holding him to 66 yards, even though they lost that game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize he was a rookie. I just saw that. He's a rookie. That's insane.
No,
I mean,
he fumbled on his first career snap, too,
yeah,
against the Patriots. And then all of a sudden he comes back, boom, I'll score 3 touchdowns.
Hasn't fumbled since, which is crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I think you look at their offense. You know, they have Hunt in the backfield, who I think was a bit of a surprise, but has really turned out to be a good piece for them. You have Alex Smith, who's, as you guys said, just, like, incredibly efficient. And then you have, you know, Kelsey. You have Tyreek Hill, who I think is also a pretty good piece out wide. Then they do have a good defense. I mean, I think this Chiefs team is really good. I think they'll be a threat to the Patriots and the AFC moving forward. But then we have the Steelers here. Jorge making a face. Steelers sitting at 6-2. You know, I had Ben Roethlisberger on my fantasy football team and started him the day he threw those 5 picks.
Let's not talk about that game.
And it was really bad. And, like, I was really pissed off about that. But they're still 6-2, and even though they've, like, there's been some controversy on the Steelers. I mean, there was the national anthem thing where their one offensive tackle, what's his name?
Alejandro Villanueva.
Yeah, he came out for the national anthem when the rest of the team stayed in the locker room, which was kind of a controversy. And then, like, this whole weird thing with Martavius Bryant and, like, Juju Smith-Schuster the past few weeks. It's just, like, weird, like, Bryant won't practice and is now like suspended or something, or he's like not playing, and it's just a weird thing. But I mean, they've still been playing pretty well. So, like, Jorge, what have you been happy with?
Well, we'll start with Martavis Bryant and take care of that. When you look through what the Steelers have done since Mike Tomlin has been their coach, there is always some young wide receiver that they find and turn into a star. I mean, they had Emmanuel Sanders at one point, they had Mike Wallace, and he looked good for them. I mean, even now, you have Smith-Schuster, you had Bryan a couple years ago. I mean, Sammy Coates looked like he could be good at some point. Marcus Wheaton. If you are not the number one receiver in Pittsburgh, and right now that's Antonio Brown, in the past it was Hines Ward, and you demand money or you demand more touches and stuff like Bryant is doing, the Steelers have no problem saying, all right, we'll wipe our hands of you and you'll go. So I can see Bryant leaving Pittsburgh. As for what the Steelers have done that has been great is their defense is brilliant. I mean, until they played Matt Stafford, they allowed fewer than 150 pass yards per game, which is insane. And then against Detroit, even though Stafford threw all day against them, Detroit didn't get into the end zone. They stopped the Lions 3 times inside the 10 in the fourth quarter. And that's what a good defense does. So I think that's been the biggest, I won't say surprise, but the biggest plus of this season so far for Pittsburgh.
I mean, yeah, Jorge, you can talk about the Steelers far more eloquently than I can. I mean, from a non-fan's point of view, I think it kind of seemed like at a certain point, especially after that 5-pick game, sorry to bring it up again, they did seem like to be struggling a bit, but the Steelers have always kind of seemed like an up-and-down team where, like, when they get hot, they are really hot.
They are.
And I think they are right now really hot. I mean, so I think it's really just a matter for them of whether they can keep that up enough to get into the playoffs and whether they can be hot in the playoffs. But if they can, they're as good as any team in football.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think you're right, Jorge, that defense has been, like, on another level this season and compared to the past few years. But let's just keep rolling. We'll head on to the Vikings. sitting at 6-2 in the NFC North. They're like, I've been surprised that they've been able to keep up this kind of production, because Teddy Bridgewater was out. He was originally out for the whole season at the beginning of the year. And then Sam Bradford also went down, and Case Keenum is their starting quarterback, which is like insane. I mean, Case Keenum leading a 6-2 team. That's wild. But I think they have some really good wide receivers. You have Stephon Diggs, who has had a great year. You have Adam Thielen, who, like, weirdly has been a really insane deep threat for them. I mean, he's just been out of this world. So what do you guys think of the Vikings?
They, I think, are powered by their defense mostly, and that's because they have Case Keenum at quarterback. And then they have wide receivers that can make plays. And in the NFL right now, that'll win you some games that are fairly even. Those are the extra points you need that will give you that edge. So the Vikings, I think, are going to be thrilled at 6-2 in a division that no longer has Aaron Rodgers to compete with. So I think they go on and win the NFC North as things stand.
Yeah, I mean, they're in a good position to do that because of the Packers. I mean, I think it's important to keep in mind that they also had a hot start last season and then sort of fell apart in the second half. So I think, I mean, I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but, you know, when that happens once, you look for it to happen again, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. I think, like, even beyond the quarterbacks, Dalvin Cook got hurt as well. True. And, I mean, they signed Latavius Murray, but he hasn't been especially spectacular for them. So they've had to deal with a lot of injuries on the offensive side of the ball, and I think, I mean, it seems a little bit strange that, like, receivers would be the people holding up your offense, because, like, you kind of need other people to be in place. But I mean, Thielen and Diggs are fantastic. I think they're probably the most underrated, like, receiving core in the league. And so, I mean, I'm a fan of both of those guys, and it's great to see them playing well.
Yeah, and you also have Kyle Rudolph as a tight end, who's been pretty productive for them as well. Next team on our list, we have the Seahawks at 5-2. I feel like the Seahawks are just, like, always good now. They have Russell Wilson, who is, like, you don't really hear about him anymore, because I think it's just expected that he'll be good. But he's had a really good season just looking at his stats. I think it was like 15 touchdowns, 4 picks. And then over the trade deadline, they got Dwayne Brown, a tackle from the Texans, who, you know, I think will be an important piece to them on their offensive line moving forward. And I think a lot of teams were in the mix for Brown, but the Seahawks ended up coming out on top for him. So, I mean, you know, the Seahawks, you have Russell Wilson. Who else on that offense do you guys think is the playmaker?
I don't know, really, if there's anybody else. I mean, you've seen their offensive line hasn't been great. That's why they went and got Brown. But they haven't had any success running the ball. So they needed Russell Wilson to be able to run around and to make throws for them to score. And beyond the first 2 weeks, he's been able to do that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they have good receivers that can run with the ball. They have Tyler Lockett. They have Doug Baldwin. But it's Wilson or bust. If Wilson can't get out of the pocket and make those throws, then those receivers don't even have a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with you to an extent. I think the reason that the offense has struggled has not been because Wilson hasn't played well as much as it's because he's been, like, rendered completely unable to play well because of how bad that offensive line has been. So I think getting Dwayne Brown is huge for them. I think he was someone who I was hoping the Eagles might get to replace Jason Peters, because he's a pretty talented guy. He sat out for, like, the first half of the season with Houston because he wanted to be traded, and then that finally ended up happening. So I think that's a huge, huge addition. I think that's the most important addition of any team at the trade deadline. And I think, like, if Russell Wilson has protection, like, he's just going to be phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He's been phenomenal a lot of the time without protection. I'm looking for the Seahawks to continue to be really good for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Jorge, you touched on their wide receivers. They have Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, and Jimmy Graham at tight end, which is pretty insane. I mean, they're definitely powerful on the offense. So I think they'll be a team to watch in the NFC West. Next up, we have the Saints in the NFC South. I mean, Drew Brees, what more can you say? Like, he's been really good. They had Adrian Peterson, and then they traded him to the Cardinals after David Johnson got hurt. So they no longer have Adrian, but they have Mark Ingram, who has had, I think, a pretty surprisingly good season. He's always been a pretty solid running back, but he's kind of been a top guy this year. I don't have his exact stats, but I know he's had a good year. So, I mean, you know, with that offense, you have Breeze, you have a good running game. Can they be competitive?
They can. Ingram has found more success than he has in past years, and I think that's mainly because the defense is good, so they don't have to play catch-up anymore. So they're able to showcase that they can run the football now, and they can control games and control the tempo. And you put the Saints into the playoffs, you put a quarterback as special as Drew Brees there, anything can happen. So they definitely can be competitive, especially now that their defense is making plays for them.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Saints the past couple of seasons, and that defense before the season was just atrocious. And despite that, like, because they had Drew Brees, who, like, they were still a 7-9 team for the most part. I mean, he was basically making them, like, slightly below average by himself with some other pieces in that offense. And now that the defense is coming together, like, that, I don't see any reason why they can't compete with any team because, I mean, Drew Brees is a phenomenal quarterback, one of the best of all time. So if he's got pieces around him, I mean, you saw what that Saints team was the last time they had that. I mean, that they ended up winning a Super Bowl, made it into the playoffs a bunch of times. And so I think they're back, and they're going to be one of the top NFC teams competing this season.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to touch on their competition as well. I mean, you have the Panthers, who are sitting at 5-3, who I think, like, I kind of thought they would be pretty competitive this year, and they're only one game back, but they just traded their star wideout Kelvin Benjamin to the Bills, which I was kind of surprised about. I mean, they're in contention, so why would they trade Benjamin?
I don't get it, because Greg Olsen is injured, I think. So
yeah, I think you're right.
That is Cam Newton's biggest target after Olsen is Kelvin Benjamin. So I don't – it makes no sense to me, really. I have no answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at that offense. I mean, you have Cam. They haven't been able to get a good running game. It's Jonathan Stewart, and I think Christian McCaffrey still hasn't been getting, you know, a full running back touches for them. He's kind of been their weapon out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. You have Jonathan Stewart, who I think has been their main guy, but he has been largely disappointing, as I think he's always been. Like, throughout his whole career, you always hear Jonathan Stewart, and then he kind of sucks. You have Devin Funchess now, who I think has been kind of a surprise for them. He's been pretty good this year. He's had a few breakout games. But, I mean, you get rid of Benjamin, and, like, I'm looking at their roster right now, and who else do you have besides Funchess, McCaffrey, and Stewart, maybe, as a weapon for Cam? I mean, there's really no one. And that's why I'm kind of surprised that they, you know, offloaded Benjamin, because, I mean, he was a great player, and it's not like you're getting killed out there in the NFC South. I mean, you're one game back, half a game back, because you're 5-3, Saints are 5-2. So I don't know, that kind of surprised me. I don't know if that means that they don't think they can compete this year, or they just wanted to stock up on some younger players. I'm not totally sure, but that was just kind of surprising. So then some teams that, like, I don't know if we really thought they would be good, but ended up being good. You have the Bills, who, like I said, just got Benjamin over the trade deadline from the Panthers, getting Tyrod Taylor, another weapon. You have LeSean McCoy, you have Benjamin. I know they have Jordan Matthews still, who's had, like, a decent season for them out of the slot. I mean, they're a good team. You guys think they can stack up with the Pats?
I don't know if they can stack up with the Pats. I think they can make the wild card, and their defense has created the most turnovers in the NFL. I think they have the best turnover differential in the league right now. And they fired Rex Ryan after last season, I think. So the train wreck they were in the offseason, giving way to a 5-2 team now, is impressive, and you have to commend them for that. But no, I don't see them winning the division.
Yeah, I don't think they'll win the division over the Pats. I mean, I think they're a safe bet to make a wild card spot, though. I mean, I think it comes down to Tyrod Taylor a lot, too. I mean, I think people are pretty split on whether he can be kind of a franchise guy. I'm in the pro-Taylor camp. I think, you know, he's not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback by any means. But, I mean, I think we've learned with some of the Super Bowls we've seen in recent years, kind of the Broncos winning one with kind of Osweiler playing, and then, you know, old, can't really play anymore Manning. You don't need a spectacular quarterback if you know, you have the other pieces available. And I think Tyrod Taylor is still a good quarterback. Yeah, I think you could have a quarterback worse than Tyrod Taylor and still win. So I think he's an important part. I mean, I think LeSean McCoy, you know, love him.
Yeah.
And I think he's an excellent running back, one of the best in the league. He'll always help, especially kind of the Bills will have that ethos of being a running football team. And then the defense has been really good too, which is interesting. You see that the Panthers had that kind of confusing trade of Kelvin Benjamin. The Bills traded Marcell Dareus to the Jaguars, which is funny for a couple reasons. One, the Jaguars have the best pass rush in the NFL, and it's not particularly close. Their defensive line is insane, but they're not really like that competitive of a team. So it's weird for them to beef up like the one thing they already have really good of when they're not like especially, you know, contenders. But then it was interesting to see the Bills give that up. I'm not exactly sure, you know, all the pieces they have on defense, how important Dareus was. I'm assuming they'll still be a pretty solid team, but I'm curious what like tempted them to make that trade.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure, but I think that'll be a really interesting division to see throughout the rest of the year with them battling with the Pats. I mean, I agree with you, Jorge and John. I don't think they'll necessarily take it over the Pats, but I think they can keep it competitive and there will be some good games there. And then the last surprising team I think we kind of wanted to talk about were the Rams, because, you know, they have Todd Gurley, who I think has been the top back, if not one of the top backs in the league this year. And then, you know, their defense has been incredible. I mean, I think they're the top scoring defense, I think, up to this point. But Jared Goff has also been, like, I don't want to say he's great, and he definitely hasn't been Carson Wentz level, but he's been pretty good. I mean, I think he's been serviceable for them, especially with Gurley when you have a weapon like that out of the backfield. So what do you guys think of the Rams?
Exactly. When you have Gurley, you have to not implode.
Yeah.
And unlike last year, Goff has not imploded this year, which is why the Rams are good. And I really think it's just that simple. When you have a talent like Todd Gurley, you don't need too much else to have a winning record and squeak a wild card, especially the way the league is right now.
I think in the way that Drew Brees can take a terrible team up to 7-9, Jeff Fisher can bring down a good team to 7-9. So I think they're very much blessed to be rid of him. I think Sean McVay is an exciting young coach. And as far as Goff goes, I mean, people were really quick to write him off after he got some playing time last season and looked pretty bad. But he's not proven to be like a spectacular guy, but definitely a solid NFL quarterback this season. And I mean, when you've got Gurley, when you've got that defense, that's really all you need. So I think they're, you know, I don't think they'll win. I think the Seahawks will probably end up winning that division, especially after getting Dwayne Brown. I really like their prospects, but I think the Rams will get one of those NFC wildcard spots, and I think they've got a bright future ahead of them too.
Yeah, I agree. And then finally, I do just want to touch on our 2-0-8 teams so far. We have the 49ers and the Browns. The Niners, I know John and I watched that game last week where they played the Eagles, and they were just terrible. I mean, I guess the one thing that really struck out to me was they have like a sixth round draft pick rookie starting at quarterback.
Not anymore.
I was going to say, I think Garoppolo will help there because, I mean, you won't have CJ Beathard starting anymore, who is like just like maybe he can be a good player in the future, but not the kind of guy you want starting as a rookie. Then, you know, you look at the Browns. I mean, like, are the Browns ever going to be fucking good again? Like, they just – oh, I don't even know what's going on there. But I don't think the 49ers will even have the potential to go the rest of the season without winning a game, especially with Garoppolo in the fold now. But, I mean, with the Browns, do you guys think they can potentially get the 0-16?
They came pretty close last season. I don't think they won their first game until week 16. Yeah. And I just have to touch on the Browns' horrible luck with quarterbacks. I mean, Wentz and Deshaun Watson both were Browns picks that got traded away.
Yeah.
And then at the trade deadline, they were celebrating getting A.J. McCarron from the Bengals that they didn't email the NFL and say, hey, we're going to trade for this guy. So now the trade didn't happen.
Yeah. That is insane.
I just think it's common.
That is insane. Like, the fact that they are incompetent enough to not get their fucking trade in on time. That's some, like,
transfer deadline, you know, European soccer stuff going on.
That's, oh, the fax machine didn't work, so we didn't get De Gea. That's right? What happened there.
Exactly. It's crazy.
Like, it's absurd.
But, like, how do you let that happen? Like, how? Like, if you want the guy, you get the fucking trade in.
But also, why are you celebrating so much? It's not like AJ McCarron is saving the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's going to go 0-16, it's going to be the Browns. But I think who knows? What, they play Pittsburgh week 17? Pittsburgh might be resting everybody by then.
Yeah.
They might squeak one there. They may get a fluke win before that. I don't know, but it'd be hard to go 0-16.
Yeah, it'll be hard for them, I think.
I do think that the Colts are a bit lucky to not be included in this conversation, having won a game.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, a lot of people are saying they're worse than either the 49ers and the Browns. And, I mean, they've got Andrew Luck was just placed on the IR. He's not going to play this season. I mean, who knows if he'll ever really be healthy, which is unfortunate
because
he's
a really, really talented sad. Guy. Jacoby Brissett has been fine.
Jacoby Brissett is like an okay quarterback, but like it's not like with other teams where like they've got the pieces to like have an okay quarterback. They just really don't have anything going for them. So like Jacoby Brissett is not going to get the job done. So they're a pretty awful team too.
And the Colts beat the Browns.
The Colts, right?
Yep.
It's like, yeah, the only win they've got is against the Browns. So.
Yeah, I mean the Browns. You know, looking at the rest of their schedule, they have the Lions, the Jags, the Bengals, the Chargers, the Packers. And that's just some of the rest of their schedule. So maybe they can sneak one out. Maybe not. I don't know. But I think finally we just kind of wanted to touch on a lot of these injuries that have happened this year to, like, really, really good players. I think it's kind of weird that this happens. Like, I think there are always a lot of injuries. But just the fact that all these top guys went down is kind of surprising and pretty unfortunate. You know, Sam Bradford, we talked about David Johnson for the Cardinals in the first game of the season. I mean, that really killed their hopes for the year. And then Carson Palmer went down for them too, just, what was that, 2 weeks ago? So, I mean, they're basically down for the season. I don't know if they really have a chance anymore at making the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers with his broken collarbone, I think it was. I mean, he's out. Is he out for the season?
They're saying he might come back, like, if they can make the playoffs, but they're not going to make the playoffs without Aaron Rodgers. So, pretty much, yes.
Yeah, and then Deshaun Watson just this week tore his ACL today in practice.
Non-contact. Tore his ACL in practice. The Texans were going to be, like, everybody's dark horse pick because that man can throw deep balls to DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, and they'll catch them.
Yeah.
And, like, already, and you look at Houston, their defense has been taken down, so they can't even rely on their great defense anymore because Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt are out for the season as well.
Yeah, so that's really unfortunate for Watt because he's another guy like Luck who's just had a lot of injury problems and is just such a talent. I mean, like, he you know, when he was healthy, like, probably the best defensive player in the league, and, like, now it's just a matter of, like, can he even be healthy again, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And then also, like, you guys said Watt. I mean, you have Ryan Tannehill, who, like, isn't a great quarterback, but he would
Jay
be better.
Back in the league.
He would be better than Jay Cutler for the Dolphins. Eric Berry, and then OBJ. I mean, that Odell Beckham Jr., that really sucks, too. And then Leonard Fournette, I think, is out.
Maybe not
for the season. He's back now.
I think he's back.
And then we said earlier, Dalvin Cook, too. So, I mean, there have been a lot of injuries. And then Ezekiel Elliott suspended. Do you guys think he'll ever actually, like, do that suspension this year?
So I think he has to now for the coming weeks, because as I understand it, the most recent appeal submitted by the NFLPA, the whatever judge was kind of presiding over it, did not, like, I guess, suspend the suspension until the appeal is concluded. Okay. So basically, he'll serve the suspension while the appeal process is going on, and then they may overturn the previous decision, and so, like, the suspension would you know, no longer be in effect.
Yeah.
But so I think for now he needs to serve the suspension.
So, like, he'll serve the suspension until the final verdict is made.
That's my understanding of it. I'm not positive. It's just there have been so many different, like, appeals and back and forth.
Yeah, it's really confusing.
Hard to keep track of. But I mean, I hope he serves his suspension, because I want the Cowboys to do poorly.
Yeah, and I mean, assuming he starts it this week, I don't know what the timeline is on some kind of appeal like that, but he'll be out for Kansas City, which is a big game for the Cowboys. I mean, I think they would like to win that game. Atlanta then, and then they have the Eagles 3 weeks down the road. So if he's out for that game, that would be cool.
I would be okay with it.
That would be cool. Yeah, so you guys have anything else you want to talk about, or you think we're...
I mean, really quickly, and this is just something I thought of right now after talking about the Rams. If Jared Goff continues to be a serviceable but not spectacular quarterback, and Wentz's career continues on its meteoric rise, does Jared Goff get the Alex Smith sort of reputation of, you were the number one pick when this incredible quarterback got picked after you? Because that's the Alex Smith with Aaron Rodgers situation.
I do think it would be a little different, given that Aaron Rodgers slipped to like 24, which was crazy given how great of a quarterback he became. Whereas, you know, it was like 1-2 with Goff and Wentz. Yeah. And I think that makes it look not quite as bad. But I do think you can kind of see Jared Goff, maybe not in relation to like the Smith to Rodgers, Goff to Wentz thing, but definitely like in the Goff to Smith thing, as far as like being the number one guy and being fine, having a solid NFL career and you know, maybe even like becoming a good quarterback like Alex Smith is now, but like never, I don't know. I haven't seen anything from him. Not that I've watched a ton of him that would make me believe that he's going to ever be like a spectacular, like making huge plays kind of quarterback.
Yeah, but I think you never know. I mean, it's still early for him and you could see him develop. And I mean, I think he was pretty promising coming out of Cal. So, and he does have Gurley. I mean, if they get a couple more offensive pieces, I think he can be a really good guy for them. But that will conclude our podcast today on the NFL. I hope you heard us extra clear today. Hopefully this new equipment is working well. Just want to give a quick plug to our social media. You can follow The Voice on Twitter at GTown Voice. Follow our sports section on Twitter at GU Voice Sports. Follow Halftime, the sports and leisure blog, at Halftime GU. You can also follow The Voice on Facebook. Find all of our great content on GeorgetownVoice.com. And follow The Voice Podcast Network, where you can hear all of our new super clear podcasts coming at you. If you want to follow any of us personally on Twitter, you can follow me at Nick Gavio. Jorge, no Twitter still.
Yeah, give me my usual sports sermon ribbing.
I'm used to it. Yeah, you're used to it. John?
I'm at John_block_no_h in the John.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, everyone.